Hello, Internet. My name is Jonathan Cook.
And I'm Matt Noble.
And it's finally over. One of the biggest shows of all time. So big that it gets not one, but two podcasts. A preview and a review, Matt.
Oh, yeah. It's Game of Thrones, the final season. I watched it. I think you watched it too, so we can chat about it. And there's going to be spoilers. Right? We're going to be spoiling, if you haven't seen the final season yet, we're going to be talking about what happens, breaking down all the big moves, guess announcing our player of the season and all those sorts of things.
Absolutely. If you own social media slash have been outside your home in the past week, it's probably already been spoiled for you. It's been the talk of the town, but we'll hit you with a quick spoiler alert. Anyway, that's just how concerned we are about spoilers here at Screen Verdict. Yeah. So here we go. Spoiler alert. Woo, woo, woo,
woo. Okay. Now we can talk about it. Okay. Now we can... There's no excuse not to mention spoilers or something.
No reason to spend the next 60 minutes talking about how we're not going to do spoilers.
Yes.
And not actually talk about the show. People come for the spoiler warning, not actual show discussion. Okay, so what we did is we decided we're going to talk about this rather than going chronologically or character. We're just going to get into the biggest moments. Matt, what was the biggest moment of the season?
I think we've got to start with Bran becomes king. There's all this talk about Game of Thrones. Who would win out at the end? Who, like, this?
It's the name of the show.
What, sorry? Yeah, it's the name of the show. Well, here's your lead. Bran the Broken becomes king.
I had mixed opinions on this. The first was I wasn't really excited about Bran becoming king. Bran's a character that I've never particularly enjoyed.
Yeah.
He's probably been the most overpromised, underdelivered character in the show. They keep on talking about how important it is that he's the three-eyed raven and nothing of note ever seems to come of it. So this kind of lame character becoming king wasn't exciting to me, but I had him higher on my predictions list than you did. So boom, Bran the Broken, lock it in, he's the king.
Yeah. I was going through our predictions. I think you won. You got more of the deaf things right, and you got Bran as king. So congratulations. Yeah, that was. Here's the thing with Bran being king. I liked how the series, sort of what sets into motion the Game of Thrones, is him getting pushed out a window, and then he ends up king at the end. I like the bookends there. That's all I liked. Like, he was a boring character. He didn't really do much. Wasn't psyched about Bran becoming king. A lot of our old podcasts too, we're sort of talking about like a lot of his boring dreams and like how a lot of time was being wasted on just Bran's dreams and stuff. So, yeah, not stoked about Bran becoming king. I had two things like about that. One is he becomes king because Tyrion pitches that he should be king, right? Yes. I thought it was a very bizarre pitch. So Tyrion goes to this like meeting as a prisoner, and then he's like, "Well, no one can decide my fate because we don't have a king." And then like, oh yeah, and he goes, so like, here's who should be king, and they're like, oh yeah, sounds good to me.
Did you think that Tyrion actually thought that he would be the best king, or just the king that would be most likely to not execute him?
Yeah, he was like, Bran will remember that thing I designed for him to ride a horse in season one. Yeah, I don't know. Because apparently Bran, like, had a real, like, and I like that Tyrion's like, we need a king with a good story. It's all about the story.
Yeah. It seemed a little too self-referential. I don't know. I didn't particularly enjoy that. I also thought it was funny that he kept referring to him as Bran the Broken. It's like, who has a better story than Bran the Broken? And he's like, you can just call me Bran. It's like, everybody remember the tale of Bran the Busted Up. And he's like, what? You can just call me Bran. And then out of nowhere, Sansa's like, and he can't have children?
Sansa was pissed. Sansa was not happy. You got, like, you know, she's done so much over the last, like, sort of couple of seasons, and sort of has been probably more responsible for things like the running of things and things, stuff like that. Then all of a sudden you got Tyrion, her like ex-husband is now like going, hey, this is the person with the best story. Like, even though, like, really, we've been watching the TV show. They skipped a whole season without Bran. Like, the story wasn't that good. And Sansa, who's had, I think, a much more compelling narrative arc, she's like, you know, anyway, like, he's like, Bran, he's got the best story out of anyone here. So then they go around the council meeting. And I love how Arya, like, everyone's like, Tyrion's like, all in favor? And it's like, I. And then he goes to Sansa. And she's like, you know what? We'll be independent.
Yeah.
We're all right. You guys can have Bran. I'm not going to be able to sell to the North that a Stark's now running the show. We're out.
I thought it kind of made sense because I think the North always has wanted to be independent, but that kind of makes me think that everyone else would be like, hey, if they're getting their independence, we want to be free too.
Yeah, or at least, like, you know what? If the North are going to be independent, maybe let's not have a Stark run the other six kingdoms. Yeah. Like, the Stark's getting a bit greedy to go, hey, we're going to have a Stark run the Six Kingdoms for the first time ever, and the North's going to not be a part of it.
Yeah. Having said that, Sansa did have the funniest line, possibly of any series in the show.
Yeah, what was it?
Where Sansa's uncle gets up to give his dramatic speech, his pitch. I'm a veteran of two wars, and I think, and Sansa just goes, Uncle, please sit. Like, it was just so savage. Like, it just came out of nowhere. Like, this guy, like, this is his Braveheart moment. And then Sansa's just like, sit down.
Sam also pitches democracy in the meeting and just everyone's laughing, like, at laughs at him. He's like, maybe the people should decide. Like, you idiot. Like, commoners decide. You clown, sit down.
I think the writers thought, you know what? There's not going to be any plot twists in the second half of this episode. Let's at least include some jokes.
Yeah. Yeah. And yeah, you got Sam bringing out the book of, he goes, here's the Song of Ice and Fire, the book. It's about the history of everything. And then Tyrion's like, oh, I bet they write a lot of bad things about me. And Sam's like, you're not even in it. And I think that's bizarre that you'd have such a thick history of the sort of Robert Baratheon onwards history that, like, doesn't mention the Hand of the Kings for, like, multiple, like, key players.
Yeah, that was ridiculous. I didn't like it to begin with because I thought it was too cheesy and self-referential. But the fact that Tyrion wouldn't be mentioned, he's, like, a top five most important character. And even if you think, well, that's because of the perspective we've been given, you know, from a historical sense, would... Yes, he was the Hand of the King. Of course he would be mentioned. Hand of the...
Yeah,
hand to several kings and queens.
Yeah, Hand of the King to Joffrey, Hand of the King to Daenerys, Hand of the King to Bran. Like, yeah, they had a pretty good run. Yeah, so I think that was interesting. He made the play in Braavos on Westeros history.
Yeah.
Like, I think he's making the book. My last question, is Bran the mastermind of Game of Thrones? Did he, like, because, like, when Tyrion's like, here's one more thing. Tyrion's going off on, he's like, Bran, we need the king with the best story. He's this amazing guy. You know, he's the one who can break the wheel. And then Bran's like, thanks, man. And you can be my hand of the king. And Tyrion's like, oh, no. All my ideas suck.
This is my one good one. I wanted to drop the mic and exit.
Yeah. But anyway, what was I going to ask? Oh, is Bran the mastermind? Because, like, Tyrion pitches it and, like, someone's like, oh, this guy doesn't even want to be king. He didn't even want to be, like, king of the North. And then Bran's like, whoa. Why do you think I came all this way, guys? Like, did he know that just by doing nothing that he'd just end up as king? So he sort of just did the little things he could to, like, provoke drama so that he'd end up king at the end of the show?
In short, I don't really know, because I don't think they ever explained Bran's powers. We mostly just get cryptic dialogue from Bran. If it's a case of he's actually in control, that's kind of wild that he would take us on this such an insane journey. And we'll talk about it in a minute, but thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of civilians die. And if Bran is in control, not a great guy. Could have done a better job stopping that if you have any kind of influence over this stuff, Bran.
Maybe that was the only way he could become king, though.
Again, still a bad guy. You becoming king is not worth it if this is what has to happen for you to get the throne.
Maybe if you're Bran, it is. Because I didn't really, like...
Well, yeah, it might be worth it for Bran. Still a bad guy. Bad guy is what I'm saying.
Yeah, I think a bit douchey at the least, evil mastermind at the best on Game of Thrones. And I think that is a problem. They didn't really give us Bran's motivations. I have no sense of how he would rule as king, how he would govern. I think there were other people with compelling stories that could have easily, like, united the kingdoms. But anyway.
My take on it is that he can see things, but maybe it's like the Doctor Strange quote in... Endgame, if I tell you it won't happen. So he might be able to see all of the future or parts of the future, but if he then tries to stop that or manipulate it or makes people aware of it, things change. That kind of like diverts the timeline or something. So
yeah. Who
knows?
Mm.
I don't think he was the puppet master, if that's the question.
Yeah. First thing I may have said, hey, John, don't tell your sisters about... your bloodline until later.
Yeah. A lot of online content coming out of this season of Game of Thrones. Probably my favorite one that I heard was, how good are you at keeping secrets on a scale from Ned Stark to Sansa?
I think, though, to be honest... with the secret about Danny and John being related, and I guess we can now pivot into sort of maybe the Danny-John stuff, is that Sansa didn't want Danny to be queen, and that information getting out sort of propelled her, like, motives and game and stuff along. Like, I didn't see much incentive for Sansa to keep that a secret. I saw a massive incentive for John to keep it a secret. And I think, like, John was the real one who I blamed for dropping the ball on that. Because I feel like Sansa was like, I don't even like Danny. This is going to, like, create a bit of, like, tension over, like, who gets the throne. I'd rather John be king. Where John was actually, no, I'd rather Danny be queen.
Okay, so from John's perspective at that point, he is loyal to Daenerys and he wants Daenerys to be queen. I think he's fallen out of love with her. Because they are related, he has now found out. But I think he still respects her and honors her and wants to serve her. So if his end goal is to maintain that and for her to end up on the throne, there is absolutely no benefit to telling anybody at all, regardless of whether you're related or not really related, but grew up with certain people that you're the rightful heir to the throne. That can only put a wrinkle in your plan of keeping Daenerys happy and getting her to become queen.
Particularly getting this news out the eve before a massive battle.
He knew that Sansa, even Arya a little bit, but especially Sansa, was not a fan of Daenerys.
Yeah.
And he did get her to swear it, but I don't know. He had a lot of faith in that swearing.
Yeah. Yeah. And look, he can you can always tell someone something later if you don't tell them today. Like, he wasn't removing the option of ever telling them that Dany and him were related and that he was a Targaryen. But once you tell them, you can't undo that. So I think Jon was so all over the map this season. He was not, like, he was just, you know, I was not a fan, as I have not been most seasons of Game of Thrones, of Jon, how he approached things. Something he did approach that was quite a big moment was he killed Daenerys.
Kills Daenerys after Daenerys goes crazy and kills a whole bunch of people even after the battle was won. So this was a pretty awesome battle. You know, the first time they rock up at King's Landing, they get blindsided. They were totally arrogant for some reason, did not see those ships that were hiding, I guess. They lose a dragon. They're down to one dragon, so they regroup and they come up with a better plan to take out those scorpions, those giant crossbows, fight the armies, and, like, Drogon just goes nuts. Like, seeing Drogon, like, torch all those, like, soldiers and stuff and, like, bring down the gate towers or whatever, freaking awesome. One of the best battle scenes in Game of Thrones, for my opinion. And Tyrion's like, when they ring the bells, that means they've surrendered. Just listen for the bells. And the bells go off and you see Daenerys' face that she's just stewing. She's fuming. And you're like, don't do it, Dany. Don't do it. And she sets off and you're like, oh, man. Maybe she's just going to the Red Keep. She's going to take out just Cersei. That would be pretty cool to see her take down the tower. And then whoom, just kills. How many people do you think Daenerys killed? Civilians.
I was listening to another podcast where they guessed, like, maybe 100,000, but I don't know if that's...
Yeah, way to promote another podcast.
Well, I haven't named the podcast.
Well, you're just like, you know, I haven't put any time or thought into this, but you know who did? A different podcast.
I know, lots, like thousands.
All right, we'll go 101,000. Just the we'll Price is Right that other podcast. Say 101,000. Jon is left in this position where I would have thought, to be honest, that in the start of the final episode, he would have been like, "Man, Daenerys is crazy." But he still seemed conflicted. He was like, "Oh, but I love Dany and she's still the queen, and oh, she made a mistake." And Tyrion had to bring him around. The scene with Tyrion in the holding cell and Jon Snow, Tyrion was making a lot of sense to me.
Yeah. What did you think about Dany going mad? This has been quite a controversial thing. A lot of people felt it wasn't earned, that it was out of character. What did you think?
I actually liked it. I thought it was... A bit of a sharp turn, but I felt like there were some clues. She's mentioned this before. I feel like three or four times people, advisors to her, have had to remind her, no, we don't really want to torch the city because that'll make you a tyrant just like the tyrants beforehand. And yet she keeps threatening to do it. So, you know, it wasn't the first time she'd considered it. Actually doing it is a whole different thing. And she's been vengeful in the past, like killing like Sam's like dad and brother and stuff, which was more debatable because they wouldn't bend the knee. But did she have to burn them alive like that? Maybe, maybe not. And then there were a few clues, I think, in that particular episode. There was a good scene between Danny and John where she goes to kiss him. Actually, no, just before that, she says, everybody loves you. All I have is fear. And then he's like, I love you. You're my queen. And she goes to kiss him, and he doesn't want to. He's not in love with her anymore. And then she says something like, so fear it is then. And that was when I thought, ooh, this is not good. Daenerys is going to do something rash. So when she did do it, it's a bit of a jump to kill that many civilians, but I didn't feel like it was entirely out of left field. As Varys said, when a Targaryen's born, the gods flip a coin.
Yeah, look, I didn't like it. I didn't think this was good. I think she was being sold to us for years as a hero, and I think this season they rushed turning her evil. I think regardless of what you think of the show and whether that was a good thing for the show or dramatically or whatever, Jonathan, would you agree with me? This is the worst move of anyone in Game of Thrones history, because I sort of feel like she doesn't torch the city then. She just takes out Cersei. She's ending the series on the Iron Throne ruling Westeros. I feel like her defeating Cersei with the dragons and the Lannister army brings the kingdoms together. She has Jon and Tyrion's support 100% moving forward. But she torching the city is what ends up resulting in her dying the next episode. Like, I feel like the gap between results from making that decision and not making that decision is the biggest gap we see of anyone in the show, because it is from ending the series on the throne and ending the series dead.
I partially agree. I think you're right. If she doesn't do that, she ends up on the throne. She still has Tyrion's support. She has Jon's support.
She wins the game.
She wins the game at least for now. But I think in the back of her mind, there's always that nagging feeling that people will want Jon on the throne instead of her. And I think her thought process is, I don't want to be, if I can't be fully loved, if I can only be half loved, I'd rather be fully feared. So rather than be, you know, 50% succeeding in a good way, I'd rather completely succeed in a bad way.
Yeah, okay. Now, here we go. There's obviously been, this is an idea, I haven't pitched this to you yet, but there's obviously been a lot of controversy because Daenerys was such a hero. She was my hero of the show. I believed in her too, and she let me down this season. But I guess I wasn't as big a – well, I don't know. I was going to say, some people named their kids after Daenerys, not knowing how her story would end, after the Khaleesi, Daenerys, all these different names throwing around, and now they've got real egg on their face. I was going to say, I'm not that big a fan, but I guess I haven't had a kid. So maybe I wouldn't have. Like, I'm just going to put it out there. But we've got a friend, Jonathan, a good friend, Bass, who's been on the podcast before.
Yeah.
Well, I sort of feel like maybe there's some egg on his face now, because they had a baby right before – him and his wife Mel had a baby right before this season aired. They were very excited for Game of Thrones, and they called their baby – it was a boy. So they went, well, how do we get around this? They called it Danny. So
I think you can get away with that. Because it's a boy, people won't make the connection because Danny is... Do you think people are just the real detectives when it comes to baby names? Like, even what? 5 years from now, like, oh, I finally get to meet your son. Danny, how old are you, Danny? Five. Let me do the math. That means you were born in 2019. Game of Thrones. You're a Game of Thrones baby. You're named after Daenerys. You're a little psychopath.
Yeah. Well, do you know what I thought we should do? Let's call Bass and see if he's regretting the baby name choice.
Put him on the spot. I like it.
Yeah, I texted him last night. He is up this early, apparently. So,
yeah, he's got a kid.
Yeah. Yeah. Can you hear the ringing?
Yes.
Hello, you're Sebastian McIntosh. I'm unable to take your call right now. Please leave your name and number.
Okay, well, there you go. There you go. Well, you might call back during the podcast. We've got another about 25, 30 minutes. So he did say, I'll be up at 6 tomorrow morning. So.
I think that's a sign. I think that does not bode well.
No, he's upset. I didn't tell him. I told him we're doing a Game of Thrones podcast. I didn't say that was the question that was coming.
He did the math. He put two and two together.
Yeah, he's gone into hiding. Yeah. Anyway.
Personally, I don't know anybody that named their kid Daenerys, although I have heard that it's happened, or even Khaleesi. I know a lot of people with pets, so not quite as bad, but yes, this is a real thing. A lot of people did name their kids or pets Dany, Daenerys, or Khaleesi.
I think our friend Brendan, you know Brendan, he named his guinea pig Sansa.
Good choice, good choice. Yeah. I feel like the show ended and you can be okay with that one.
Yeah, you can be 1/7 happy. I was just thinking, oh, well, I picked Sansa to be on the throne. She at least got one kingdom. But no, my prediction, I think, was my third pick was Arya, not Sansa. So, Jon killing Dany, I agree with you. That made sense. Tyrion, I think, made a compelling case to Jon, although it took him frustratingly long to realize that was what he needed to do. I was as big a Daenerys fan as anyone, Jon Snow, and I realized at the beginning of that episode that she needed to go. Here's a question I have. Oh, then the dragon comes in, destroys the throne, melts the throne down because dragon was like very conscious of what pieces of furniture represent in Westeros.
If Dany can't have the throne, no one can.
Yeah. And then took her off. Jon Snow then got, like, arrested by Grey Worm and co. for – we didn't see this. But also, can we quickly role play Jonathan? Because I thought this was a bit bizarre. Can we role play – could you be Grey Worm who just walks into the throne room after Daenerys has been killed by Jon?
Okay.
And I'll be Jon Snow.
Jon, what happened?
I don't know. Have you seen Daenerys? I just came in here looking for her. And the throne's melted and she's nowhere to be seen.
The throne's melted? That must have been Drogon. But where's Dany? What happened to Dany?
I have no idea. I thought you knew where she was.
What? You're the one that's in the room with the melted throne. What did you see?
Well, I didn't melt the throne. I just came in here and the throne was melted.
What? We got to go find it. We got to go looking for Drogon.
Yeah. Let's look for it. Yeah. Let's try to figure it out.
Well, you're not guilty.
Yeah. No, I didn't like, you don't even know that she's dead.
Jon Snow must've confessed to the murder, I guess. Yeah, I guess there would have been blood on the floor. There was blood on the floor. Jon Snow doesn't seem like the kind of guy that would try and get away with it, to be honest. I think he'd be like, it was me. I had to do it. Punish me as you must.
And a lawyer's nightmare, Jon Snow. There could be a Westeros-based serial-type podcast, I feel like, or Netflix crime series, like claiming Jon Snow was convicted for a crime he didn't commit sort of thing. Like, he was convicted. There was no body. There was no weapon. Grey Worm had it out for him. Like... how insane is it there'd be no body, no weapon, and he'd still, like, Yeah, I think you're right. He just told the truth because he's an idiot that, like, you know, that just always just tells, like, says things he doesn't have to. Because he's honorable or something.
He's very honorable, that Jon Snow. Personally, I don't think he went in there knowing that he was going to kill Dany. I feel like he gave her every opportunity to show her some inkling that she could change, that she showed some regret or remorse that it could be different in the future, and she just didn't, and he knew, that's when he knew he had to do what he had to do. And I thought it was a good scene. I think the finale peaked with that scene.
I like the moment. I thought the writing was fairly corny, like, again, we can rule together and things like that.
I thought it was a bit lame when she was like, my brother was telling me stories and I was just a young girl that couldn't even count to 20. I'm like, that, well, how old are you? If you're two, we don't expect you to be able to count to 20. If you're six, then that's, I feel like we need to unravel that some more. That's an interesting tidbit. And then, like, 2 minutes later, she's like, look at you, a bastard, and me, a girl that couldn't count to 20. And it's like, do we really need to bring that up again? This is not something that has been, that we knew about Dany before. This is not, like, a defining characteristic of her.
Isn't that, like, the big obstacle she has overcome in her life, not being able to count to 20? Like, it is weird. Like, she was exiled. Like, you know, there's, like, a whole bunch of, like, an interesting journey, like, that she's been on. And she's like, look, you're defined by being a bastard. I'm defined by not having been able to count to 20 at one point.
The sort of redeeming thing for her being a bit grandiose, a bit kind of speaking in non sequiturs, being a bit delusional, is it plays into the fact that she's gone crazy.
Yeah.
So it somewhat made sense. Feel like they could have picked a better story, but whatever. And then John's like, I love you, you'll always be my queen. And I was like, oh, no! And then he stabs her, and I was like, oh, thank God. Oh, man. Like, if John had just gotten on board with it, I would have lost my mind.
You'll always be my queen, they kiss and the series ends. I think it was a real shame though we didn't from Daenerys see some regret or remorse. It seems like they did throw that character. I sort of felt like we didn't see her grapple with who she had become, which I think was selling her character a bit short. But anyway, I guess you could say mad queen. Also, just one thing on Daenerys. I made a prediction, I think at the end of our season one, maybe in our season two podcast, that Daenerys would sit on the Iron Throne at one point in the series. Boy, so I was pulling close. My hair out that she didn't sit on the throne.
She touched the armrest.
I just watched it, sit on it. I need that prediction to be right. Just sit on that throne. And then, like, John comes and she turns around and I'm like, oh, well, there you go. That was it. She was going to ever sit on it. That was it.
So close, Matt.
Another mad queen, Cersei Lannister. She died too.
So Cersei didn't really do a lot this season. I don't think. She'd had Missandei killed in front of Daenerys and Grey Worm, which was I thought was a kind of a good moment because it was kind of like, just kind of reminded you, like, oh, that Cersei, she's a badass mofo. You don't mess around with Cersei. And it just kind of, like, teed up the next episode really well, so.
Well, Cersei probably would have just dropped a rock on Tyrion too. Like, you know, you're clearly not, like, if you're prepared to cut off Missandei's head, you're prepared to just, like, this is not a peaceful negotiation at this point.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I think she likes messing with Tyrion rather than just, like, murdering him.
Yeah.
Maybe a little rock just to just to make him move out of the way. And then, yeah, she was really just...
If this was Glee, a Slurpee would have been dropped on his head.
Yeah. yeah, she was really just kind of waiting for things to come to her. And I guess she got together with Euron Greyjoy. That sort of made sense. You're like, okay, she doesn't want to be like, this is Jaime's kid. So we'll pretend that it's Euron's kid, and he's a cocky bastard, and she seems to like that about him. So not the most interesting storyline, but I bought into it, I guess. What we were really waiting for was Jaime to return to Cersei. Would Jaime decide that he still loved her, or would Jaime turn against Cersei? Because I thought for a moment, I think in the season finale of season 7, that he would. Did you ever think that Jaime was going to turn against Cersei?
Well, you thought it made the most sense for one of their, like, Tyrion or Jaime to murder her. You thought Jaime would be the most interesting one of those things to happen. So I sort of felt he probably would. But the fact they died together and his arms were around her neck, which fulfilled the prophecy that she'd die with a younger brother's arms around her neck or something like that, sort of worked. Okay. I wasn't too fussed. I think not as dramatic as it could have been, but whatever.
I liked it because Jaime, even though we've seen him on his journey for the last few years, and he's done some bad things, but we've kind of in some ways grown to like him. And when she said, you know, we're not going to go fight the dead, you know, and he left, you thought, oh, maybe he's going to turn against her. But really, he's been in love with her his whole life.
Yeah.
They've been romantic with each other for, I don't know, 15, 20 years. I mean, they have multiple kids together. So he spent a lot more of his life in love with Cersei than he has not in love with Cersei. And despite, like, all the evil things she's done, in his mind, she's done it for the family. And he doesn't think of himself as a good person. He might acknowledge that some things Cersei's done is evil, but he thinks that he is at least in part evil. And so he wanted to go back to her. And her dying in Jaime's arms as the roof collapses, some people thought was too good to Cersei. Ah, we didn't get to see anyone kill her. But the thing is, if she came face to face with Arya or the Hound or, I don't know, whoever else might want to kill her, clearly the Hound had no interest in killing her when they did meet. Cersei is not a fighter. At that point, you know, you're kind of just stabbing like a defenseless person. You know, she's good at moving pieces on the board, but she's not a fighter herself. So seeing her get, you know, stabbed or whatever by Arya is, I don't think would actually be as satisfying as some people think it would. And her dying with Jaime, although it seems kind of sweet, we do see her world is crumbling around her, both like literally and figuratively.
Yeah.
She's lost everything she's wanted. She's going to lose her unborn baby. And we see her kind of like humanized for a moment where she starts crying. She says, I don't like this. I don't want to die. And so I thought it was a good balance of that kind of, I felt it was rather poetic the way it happened. And I felt it was just, and I thought it was a fitting end for Cersei personally.
I had a lot of issues with this season of Game of Thrones. This was not a particular issue I had with it. Like, could it have been done better? Maybe, but I was fine with how this went. I was a bit more annoyed that, like, Jaime just faffed around with Brienne for a whole episode, and that seemed like the show is just, like, killing time in a season where time was particularly precious rather than how it wrapped up with Cersei. I think Brienne also, like, wrote in the book, like, the Knight's book, he died defending his queen. I was like, yeah, he didn't do, like, much defending. I don't think he killed one dude, like, in that whole thing.
I think that was just to show that even though she was obviously hurt in the moment, she still respected Jaime and wanted his legacy to be one of honor.
Yeah. I think also, like, she probably wanted to make sure it was in the book that he had made her knight, so that was official.
Yes.
Like, his greatest accomplishment was making Brienne of Tarth knight. and he was a good guy too. Like, I think, like, you know, she wouldn't want a knight, someone with a tarnished legacy to be the person that knighted her. No, I don't think that was right. I don't think that was really the reason. But anyway, so What else happened? We had the Long Night, a big battle scene that some people said they couldn't see.
The longest battle scene in television history. I haven't actually seen the figures for the finale yet. Maybe I'll you talk about the Long Night for a second while I pull that up.
It was a big battle. They said it was bigger than Helm's Deep. Something interesting, Jonathan, you said in our season one podcast was that you were hoping that when Game of Thrones ended, people wouldn't be using the term Lord of the Rings light. It would be interesting to see if you thought this battle was Lord of the Rings light or met the sort of scope and epicness of Lord of the Rings. Look, there's a whole bunch of stuff that happened that was cool or annoying or whatever you want to say. Really, the big thing was Jon Snow didn't do much in the battle at the end of the day. Daenerys didn't do much in the battle at the end of the day. It was all about Arya Stark. This was her moment to shine. Bran, this guy, how he ended up being king is just infuriating. Like, just going up into a little bird and, like, flying around, like, not even trying to peck a dragon in the eye or anything. It was, like, completely useless. Arya jumps in out of nowhere, stabs the Night King. Some people say it came too much out of nowhere. I'm going to say great moment. We've seen her training since season one. We wanted to see her do something great in the final season. She killed the Night King. I love that.
I liked it. I thought Arya killing the Night King with that cool little trick that she used against Brienne when they were sparring was pretty cool. I just think they could have set it up a little bit better, because I know Arya is quick and stealthy and they wanted it to be a surprise.
She's no one.
Yeah. But it did kind of feel like it came out of nowhere. I don't know how she got past all those people, despite being as stealthy as she is. Like, I think it would have been better maybe if it was a team effort, if Jon fought the Night King and then Arya then comes out of nowhere and it was a plan that Jon and Arya had. Because that way, you know, there's some thought into it rather than it just, like, she literally just appears out of thin air. I mean, they made a big deal of that tree. Maybe she hides in that tree or something, jumps out of that tree. I don't know. Something to just tee it up. Supposedly, Jon did help, and I didn't notice this, and I would say 99% of people probably didn't notice this, but Jon is stuck behind a big rock fighting the White Walker dragon, whatever you want to call it, and he stands up, and you think, why is Jon just, like, sacrificing himself or whatever? And he yells, you can't even hear what he says, but apparently he yells, go, 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 and then in the background you see a shadow. And apparently that was supposed to be Jon distracting the dragon so that Arya could get to the Night King, and that shadow was Arya.
Is that confirmed? Has anyone from the show said that's what that was, or is that some fan pickup?
It could be, could be. I mean,
maybe he's just saying to the dragon, go, 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 don't attack me.
I mean, very rarely would I ever say this, but I think the fan theory makes more sense than what you just said.
Okay. I think, yeah. So do you think it would have been better? Like, because I guess they wanted the shock of it. Do you think it would have been good if, so she stabs the Night King, plays out exactly like we saw it, but then as soon as that happens, so as soon as the Night King is whatever, as soon as the Night King's killed, title card comes up and it goes 10 minutes earlier. And then we see all the things she did to get there. We see her setting the trap. We see her. Because really, it needs explanation. She could have just put on someone dead's face, right? She could have just put on the face of a killed White Walker or something like that, right?
Yeah, it was in the after the episode, the writers said something about, like, she's been hit at the head she's not at, she doesn't have all her powers, or she's not at full strength. I forget how they worded it. It wasn't clear, but it made you think, okay, she's not able to necessarily use all of her, like, super duper fancy tricks right now. They didn't have her doing that, revealing the stealing someone's face anymore. Because I think they realized it was too powerful.
Yeah.
It could kind of solve all your problems. Like, Arya's, yeah, as much as they talked about Bran, Arya's powers way better.
Oh, yeah. For sure. Arya, the faceless. I would have been happy. Like, look, to be honest, I think Sansa or Arya should have ended up on the throne at the end of the season. Yeah, and I would have been happy with either of them. I think it made more sense for Sansa, but would not have complained if it was Arya on the throne at the end.
Arya never wanted that life.
Yeah, but apparently Bran never wanted that life, or Jon Snow never wanted that life. We had all this stuff about the reluctant leader and how great they are. Look, I would have gone with Sansa. I would have gone with Sansa over Arya.
Yeah. I don't know. Talking about Arya, she... That was kind of the peak of the season for her. I thought after that, like, oh, wow, is Arya going to go on a rampage because Cersei's on her list? Is she going to kill Cersei? I know she's friends with the, despite leaving him to die at one point, still kind of friends with the Hound. Does she help him kill the Mountain? But other than sort of, I don't know, just running through the streets, unsuccessfully trying to save civilians and surviving the mayhem that was episode 5, she didn't really do a lot from then on, and then just decides to go adventuring, which made sense for Arya's character. I believed it, but it just wasn't that exciting or much of a twist.
Yeah, I agree.
Who else do we have, Matt? What are some of the other big moments or characters?
Well, we had the Mountain versus the Hound fight, which I think was one of the best moments of the season. That was pretty exciting to see.
Yeah, he takes his helmet off and the Hound's like, that's what you always were. Which was a pretty good line. And seeing that fight made me think, ooh, even though Arya is pretty awesome, she wouldn't have been much help. Because even if she did just fly in from behind and, like, stab him in the neck or whatever, apparently that's not enough. The Mountain, pretty hard to kill.
Yeah. And, yeah, they both fall into fire at the end, and I think, you know,
which was the thing he was always afraid of.
Yeah, afraid of fire, so that was interesting.
Yeah, great scene.
Theon obviously died in the Battle of Winterfell. That was sort of, you could see that coming a mile away. especially when they go, okay, Bran's the bait. Who's going to guard him? Theon.
You're like, oh, that dude's dead for sure.
Yeah. I think what Theon do is like it was interesting. Like, I think there's some inconsistencies with characters. Maybe they grow something, but like, this was the guy that like last season jumped out of a boat when his sister got arrested.
Yeah.
Like, I would not be trusting Bran to guard. I would not be trusting Theon to guard Bran, the guy who, like, a season ago was, like, running away whenever there was, like, danger.
Yeah, I think. I don't know, because Euron has shown moments of weakness and cowardliness, but then he somewhat redeemed himself when he helped Sansa in whatever season that was. And then he tried to kind of make things up with his sister, but then Euron comes. And I think that was to show, I mean, he's never been that brave, although he's trying to turn and make the right decision in the moment. But I think it was more just about how much he feared Euron. I think he just knew, like, deep down, like, I am no match for Euron. And if I do anything to try and stop this, I'm just going to die. And so he just panicked and jumped off the boat, which just gave him an even more of a feeling that he needed to redeem himself. And
yeah,
so,
okay, so that builded the redemption mode. Okay, I liked it. You know what? If you told me at the end of season one that little kid Robin, who was like breastfeeding and like just was this sadistic kid that just wanted to see people murdered, would survive the Game of Thrones. I would say you were crazy. You know, they're at the council at the end. Seems like a pretty sensible guy. Like,
Yeah, went from a freaky-looking kid to apparently a pretty good-looking dude. A lot of people were commenting like, damn, he turned out all right.
Yeah.
Kind of like the opposite of the kid from Boyhood. Very cute kid, not so cute teenager.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh.
I'm sorry, Boyhood guy. Jorah. Jorah died in the same episode.
Oh, yeah. What a... hero's end to Jorah.
Yeah, him dying protecting Daenerys could not have made more sense. It was very fitting. Also a bit predictable, but I didn't take issue with that.
Yeah. You know, I liked it. It was good. Yeah, it was a good season.
I don't know. The Tormund ends up going off with John into the...
Yeah, jumping pat his dog. People were upset. Then he patted his dog in the final episode to redeem himself. That was his big arc of the season, John.
Bronn ends up on the High Council or whatever it is after threatening to kill Tyrion and Jaime in what,
that episode Bronn 4 stuff was so weird, and I don't get really why it was there or anything.
The jokes at the end?
Yeah.
I told you, no, they replace plot twists with jokes.
Yeah. Anyway.
One final thing, I guess, coming back to Jon. What did you think of Jon's ending? So he's killed Daenerys. Exactly. They, you know, Grey Worm wants him executed. Bran and the rest are like, all right, we'll compromise, just send him... We'll send him to Castle Black as part of the Night's Watch. That's a happy medium. And they're like, okay, we'll accept that. And then at the end, did it look to you like he was just dipping on the Night's Watch and just going to live with the wildlings? Because some people thought, oh, he was just going out and then he would come back. But I interpreted it as, no, he's leaving that and he's going to go live with the wildlings. That was my read.
Yeah, I think that's I think he's going to go live with the wildlings. Be like that Matt's Raider guy. I think that's the story. Yeah, I think it's an interesting one. I think, I think it was okay. I don't think anyone really cared that much about John at the end, almost. Like, they're like, look, we did our best. You're going up to the wall. You know, you're welcome. They could have killed you. And then he's like, you know, saying to Arya, like, oh, well, I'll see you up at the wall sometime. And she's like, okay, I'm actually going to go on a trip, so I don't know. I'll no commitments.
One thing didn't make sense. It seemed like the Unsullied were leaving. So, like, John could just come back if he wanted to. Like, because it was them. It was, I guess, with maybe the Dothraki were still around. I don't know what happened to them, but Grey Worm was the person who wanted Jon dead the most, and he was leaving. So it seems like Jon could possibly come back to King's Landing if he wanted to.
Yeah, I think that made a big deal. Like, I think really, I don't know what, like, once those six kings get together, I don't know how much, like, weight Grey Worm has anymore. Just got a text from Bass. He has said, sorry, Danny just vomited all over themselves just as you were calling. He says, all good, you can call unless the moment has passed. Yeah, we'll quickly call him.
So just while you're calling him, just to finish my thought on John, it was like...
Well, we got the message machine again. There you go. So
it was kind of like Bran becoming king in that it made sense to me. Okay, you know, they send him to the wall at the start of the show, back to the wall at the end of the show, full circle, makes sense. But again, not that exciting, don't really care. Although I was happy for John when he left because it felt like John never wanted any part of this. And to go live with the wildlings, he can be done with the politics, he can be done with the BS, done with the wars. And so it wasn't a happy, happy ending, but it was actually sort of a content ending for John in a way.
He was happy with the wildlings. Yeah, good stuff. Good on you, John.
You'll find another redhead.
Who was player of the season for you? Who do we announce our final ever player of the season for Game of Thrones? I've got two people that I think are contenders.
You've got two people. I would say that you should go first because I can't think of anyone that I think played the game particularly well.
Well, you got Bran. He ended up on the throne.
Mm-hmm.
So did he just by default? He is the winner. He was ruling Westeros at the end of the series. And you could argue that he had some agency in how things played out. There's Sansa. She was able to get Northern independence. She rules as Queen of the North now. And I think she's made some pretty savvy moves throughout this season in terms of, like, seems like her head was on her shoulders, right? And that sort of thing. And Arya Stark, who defeated the Night King and sort of stared death in the face and killed it.
Yeah. I don't have a strong opinion. I don't really know what Bran did, to be honest, to earn it. He won the most, but he did the least. Whereas Sansa won more. I'm sorry, won less, but did a bit more. And Arya kind of won the least. She didn't really get anything out of it other than just to trip on the high seas. But she did the most. She killed the Night King.
Yeah.
Jeez. I don't know. I'm trying to think of another option, to be honest.
I don't think there's someone who played a better game than those three.
Pretty much everybody else ended up dead. That eliminates you from contention. That's a rule we have.
Yeah, it copped Jon Snow a win in season four or so. Like, the season five was probably his best season on the show.
I mean, I'll go Arya. She killed the Night King.
I think Bran. I think he ended up as king. I sort of feel like...
Does he even want to be king? Because Arya wanted to kill the Night King.
I think Bran wanted to be king. I think that smug face went like... Regardless of how much he was in control, I think he was pretty happy to get king at the end.
Yeah, he knew it was coming.
That little jerk who was running, climbing walls that his mum had asked him not to climb. Ended up climbing the biggest wall / ladder of chaos of all. So what verdict do we give the season?
On to our verdict. Okay, wow, the final season. I thought the first two episodes were interesting but a little bit slow. Quite a lot of setup. And at the time I was thinking, you know, these are fine, I'm enjoying it. But wow, there's only six episodes to go. And two of them were boring. That's a full third of the season. This third one better be dang good. There's a lot of hype around this third one. Big battle, pretty entertaining, but I thought despite being a little bit dark, I think it was directed well, but I felt like the writing led a little bit, left me wanting a little bit more. And Arya King, the Night King, was good but not amazing. So I was still sort of mixed at this point. Episode 4, another kind of setup episode. Missandei dies at the end. I thought the ending was pretty dramatic, so I was like, okay, now we're really going to get into it. And then the fifth episode, by far the best episode of the season. What I would say one of the best episodes of any season of Game of Thrones. I actually liked Dany's turn. I liked the Hound and the Mountain. I liked the fight in the seas. I liked Jaime's fight with Euron. I liked Jaime and Cersei's death. Yeah, fantastic episode. Really, really great episode. A lot of people didn't like it because of the turn of Dany. Oh, also, she burned Varys alive. That was pretty cool. So, yeah, some people didn't buy the turn, but I did. Fantastic episode. And then episode 6 was really tense for the first 30 minutes from the fallout of the craziness of the previous episode. Jon killing Dany. I thought some of her dialogue was corny, but ultimately that was a big moment. Drogon carrying away, loved it. And then we just talked for another 60 minutes. It was just slow and kind of boring, and everything made sense. I was kind of fine with all the endings for everyone. It was logical, but I just feel like they could have set it up better to have more of an emotional impact rather than just peppering it in with some corny jokes.
I've got to go. My ride's out the front. Sorry.
Ultimately, mixed season, 6.5 out of 10.
Okay, I didn't like it. Bad writing, bad character development. I don't like how they enter some things. There were some good moments, though. 5.5 out of 10.
5.5 out of 10. So, yeah, a little bit underwhelming for us. We maybe didn't hate it as much as some people did. The internet has gone crazy, but
okay. Definitely not the strongest. See you, buddy.
All right, Matt's got to go. See you, Matt. I'll wrap us up.
Okay.
All right, bye. Matt is off to take care of school soccer or football for our UK listeners. So there you go, Game of Thrones. In my opinion, the second worst season. So that's a small win, not the worst season. I didn't like season 5. But yeah, not the ending that I was hoping for from one of the most epic shows of the past decade or so, a fan favorite. Just to touch on what I brought up earlier, I was going to say that the Long Night was the most watched episode, I believe. I think it was up until that time, except maybe the season 6 finale. But they beat it with the final two episodes. 13.61 million people watched The Iron Throne, which is a lot of people for a cable show, especially with all the streaming and downloading, etc. options these days. So it was a phenomenon, and it lived up to that, I guess, in terms of reaction. It was a phenomenal reaction from people, whether you loved or hated it. So let us know your thoughts. Go to facebook.com/screenverdictpodcast. Why did you love the final season of Game of Thrones? Why did you hate the final season of Game of Thrones? And yeah, we'll read that out in housekeeping of our next podcast. So until then, hope you enjoyed listening, and we'll see you next week.